So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Boy, that is good news. Jesus is the ultimate freer. Because of him, we are free from sin and death. This could be a mic drop, walk off, have our table time, end of the conversation. But I have some more good news that I want to share with you, that God's word can really set you free, and more specifically, praying God's word can set you free. Here's what else what I'm realizing about you guys. Justin, are you up there? You do not feel free. I have a PowerPoint slide that Justin's going to pop up there, but I don't see him. So the slide's not there. So I'm just going to tell you about, oh, here he is. Okay, right on cue. Here's how I know that you don't feel free. This is one of my dear friends, Margaret. And Margaret is holding Cliff and wrestling baby Kai. And she put this post on Instagram a couple months ago, and I immediately called her and said, A, I am sorry. B, can I use this when I share with the MOPS group? Can you guys read her words? Full hands, full heart, or just full of overwhelm? Here's a genuine suggestion. Please, please don't tell moms with young kids to enjoy it because it goes so fast, and don't worry about the laundry and the dishes piling up, because in a minute, all your kids will be grown and gone. That just compounds our already existing anxiety and pressure. Instead, try, here's $100 for a house cleaner or a massage. Right? So I really did. I called Margaret and I said, Margaret, I'm that mom. I'm that mom with older kids that always says, oh, don't blink, they're gonna graduate from college. And I never knew how annoying I was until I saw that. And so I vowed to her that I wasn't gonna be that mom anymore. I was never, ever, ever gonna say that again. I was gonna instead look into the eyes of a young mom and say, it's so hard, isn't it? You're tired, aren't you? You still look beautiful, but I know you're exhausted. You know, it just really helped me change my perspective. Because, you know, and the other thing that was really humbling to me is I've had the opportunity to share at MOPS groups before, and I used to bring this like glossy 12-point PowerPoint slide presentation to talk about the ministry of moms in prayer, and I realized that you do not want a 12-point PowerPoint presentation. You want to sit and be filled up, and you want the joy of the Lord to be your strength, and you want to hear a message of hope. You don't want a middle-aged old lady telling you one other thing that you have to do. And I can say that because I turn 53 tomorrow, and my sister and I were having an argument about what's middle age. Like, if you're 53, do you have one more year of early 50s, and then middle is like 4, 5, 6, and then you're, so anyways, I'm middle-ish 50. But so what I want to bring you is I want to bring you a hope about investing into the lives of your kids through prayer and the freedom that that investment can bring in your life. That's what I want to share with you this morning, because it's a free gift and it has eternal impact. Okay? Eternal impact. So we can all define freedom, but let's visit the opposite of freedom. Okay? What are some of the things that imprison you? What are the things that enslave you? What limits or restricts you from living a free, full, abundant, and joy-filled life that Jesus calls you to? Is it a fear of the unknown? Is it watching the news? Is it the culture war? Is it, you know, you turn on the news, how many more school shootings are we going to have to hear about? It makes me want to live in a bubble and not listen and not pay attention. Is it your child's future? A bad habit, a reoccurring sin, financial struggles, marriage tension, this, just the sheer exhaustion of being a mom with young kids. And I'm going to tell you, I've been doing the mom thing for almost 30 years, and the answer for me is all of those things. At different times in my journey, it's been one or all of those things combined. Here's the shift that I want you to think about this morning, and I didn't make this up. John Piper made it up. How can we move from what if to the liberating even if? Okay? How can we move from what if to even if? So here's where my message of hope comes for you, and it's about my journey into the praying life. When my oldest son was 5 years old, I don't know if any of you are going to be able to relate, but I bet some of you can. He was the boy standing at the kindergarten room door crying every day, gripping onto my leg, not wanting to go in tears, and I've got a toddler on the hip and a baby in the stroller, and before 9 o'clock in the morning, I am already frazzled and completely exhausted because I've got this kid who is just an emotional disaster every day, with Mrs. Bennett pulling him off my leg, dragging him into class, saying, "It's going to be okay." And I'm sure she was saying it to me more than to him, because she knew that Luke was going to be fine 5 minutes later, but I was going to be trashed, you know, for the end of the day. And one day in the fall of that year, a sweet gal who I had met, her name's Betsy, and we are still dear friends, and we text each other every week all these years later, she walked up to me in my tears, put her arm around me, and said, "We pray for kids on Wednesdays. You should come." That is all she said. There was no manual. There was no 12-point PowerPoint presentation. I didn't even have a cell phone yet. There was no social media. I didn't know anything about what this meant. Dinosaurs were essentially still roaming the earth. But what I did know is that this woman who saw my tears put her arm around me and said, "We pray you should come." And I was like, "I'm in." And that was the beginning of my journey into praying for children, teachers, and schools. And I have been praying every Wednesday since that day. Moms in Prayer, much like what I see in this room today with MOPS, Moms in Prayer has been my community. It has been my safe place, a confidential place to share my burdens and my joys, a place where I've experienced great freedom from the hindrances that hold me back. I've also experienced great joy. And here's the thing, we were talking at our table. Every year, it's change, change, change. New teachers, new friends, new schools, new everything. But our prayer group, boom, Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. That never changed. And there was a freedom in releasing my kids into the sovereign hand of our Father in heaven, who knit them together in my womb. And for those of you who have adopted, knit them together in somebody else's womb, and you've been given the gift of motherhood. There is such freedom in saying, "God, I don't have it. Feeling like I'm not enough. I can't do this. But Jesus, you're enough." Moms in Prayer has a very focused mission and vision. We are moms who gather weekly to pray for children, teachers, and schools. Our mission is to impact children and schools worldwide for Christ by gathering moms to pray. And our vision is to see every school in the world covered in prayer. Very tight mission. Very huge God-sized vision. But it's so beautiful in its simplicity. We're women who love Jesus, we're women who love God's word, and we're with women who embrace the life-transforming four steps of prayer. And that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Fast forward to my 5-year-old crying kindergartner to now being, 29, and then my other kids, 26, 24, 19. My Moms in Prayer, sisters in Christ, have prayed with me and for me for everything from kindergarten tears, friends, no friends, school sports, church, no church. Then we're moving into girlfriends and sex and drugs and motorcycles and tattoos. This is all in my house. I'm not talking about in my prayer group. This is in my own little world. Bad breakups to most recently the divorce of my second child, whose bride, after 1 year, decided she didn't want to be married anymore. I really long for kindergarten tears some days. But here's what I know. What I know to be true is that God is sovereign, God is always good, God is faithful, and God hears and answers prayer. And He wants all of you to live in that freedom of knowing who He is. So how do the life-transforming four steps of prayer come into play with feeling free? I just want to briefly share each step, one step at a time, in a really, really concise way before we wrap it up this morning and kind of chat a little bit about freedom. We start with praise. Why start with praise? Hebrews 13:15. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name." In praise, we acknowledge the God of the Scriptures. We acknowledge God's attributes. God becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and we become smaller and smaller as we recognize who God is. I wanted to tell you your little goodie bags that you have on your table. One of our sweet volunteers, Joanne, put each one of these together for me last week, and she prayed as she tied each ribbon. So you have really been prayed over and loved on. There's a little scroll in there that shows the attributes of God, who God is. That's what we focus on in our praise time. And I'll tell you, you can come into a prayer meeting with heavy burdens, and when you spend time seeking God through Scripture and finding out who the God of the Bible is, you become surrendered to this God who loves you so intimately, who loves your children even more than you do. And it's a place of great freedom. You know, I've had some personal experiences and some examples of praising God and finding freedom. You know, during those kindergarten tears and anxiety, I learned to praise God that He's faithful, that God is compassionate, that God is the giver of courage. Coping with my son's learning disability all through elementary school, I learned how to praise God that He is a wonderful creator, that He is sovereign, that He is righteous in all of His ways. And you know, I look around and I don't know you all, but I know that. And so I understand and I remember what it means to be in the trenches of motherhood. You know, so let's think about you. You know, when you think that you are never going to sleep ever again through the night, you know, you can praise God. God, you tell me in your word that you are rest. You will be my rest. God, you will be my strength. God, I am exhausted, but you will be my song today. You will be my deliverer. You will be my hope. You know, when your house is in full chaos, God, you are a God of order. It will not always look like this. I praise you that someday, you know, do you see where I'm going with this? Prayer, this quote was written by my good friend Lee. She's a ministry friend. She just wrote a really cool book called Brave Mom, Brave Kids. She writes in her book, praise gives us the language to rewrite all of our motherhood stories because praise changes our perspective. It gives us an eternal vantage point and considers the God who has this whole thing under control. And I just love that. Praise changes our perspective. So step two in our time of prayer when we gather is confession, and we always do silent confession. Our founder always talks about in Scripture, confess your sins to one another, but in Moms in Prayer, we confess our sins privately because we really want to confess the real sins, not just like the acceptable cultural sins, but those deep, you know, those dark corners in our heart. So we have silent confession because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us of all unrighteousness. So we come to God then with pure hearts as moms. You know, when your children come to you and ask for forgiveness and say they're sorry for whatever offense it was in that last 5 minutes, you know, it melts our heart as a mom to see that soft place in our kids' hearts where they want to please and they want to obey. And that's how the Father sees us. So we want to be able to approach the throne of God in the robes of Christ's righteousness and total freedom. I have a little story for you. It's a story of, it's a true story, the untold true story of confession that leads to Thanksgiving. I was talking to my daughter this morning saying, do you remember that? My boys were toddler, early elementary, fighting over the toy, I don't know, Lucky Charms. What's a crappy sugar cereal that has a toy in it, something like that. And they were in the pantry fighting over it, and I was just exhausted. I had an infant at the time, and I put everybody in the timeout chair, and I lined them up, and I went out and said, here's what I think of your cereal toy. And I, like, ripped the cereal box in half, and the cereal went flying all over. The kids are crying. I lost it. And I literally, like, kneeled down, like, in front of the timeout chair, like, crunching the cereal under my knees and said, I've lost my mind, and I'm sorry, and mommy needs a timeout, please forgive me. And they did, and we hugged, and then they made fun of me about it for the rest of my life. But it was a sweet time of, that time was public confession, but it really did lead me into a time of thanksgiving for my kids. You know, our kids want to see us transparent, they want to see us vulnerable, and they want to see us thankful. You know, we want to be thankful-hearted women in front of our children. And so that takes us into step three of our four steps of prayer in the Moms in Prayer Hour. Step three is thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Here's my favorite part. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't say for everything, give thanks, because that would be fake to say, I'm so thankful that I freaked out and ripped up the cereal in front of my children. That was a highlight of my day. No, in everything, give thanks. God, thank you that my kids get it, that life is hard and overwhelming sometimes. So it's that spirit of thanksgiving, because you know what? Even on our worst day, we are saved by grace and have eternal salvation, and there is always, always, always something to thank God for. Thank Him for your freedom. Thank Him that your kids are wonders of creation. Thank Him that every load of laundry means that your kids are able to go outside and play and get dirty. You know what I mean? Living with a heart of thankfulness. Because even on their worst, snot-faced, most rebellious days, they are yours and they are a gift from God. So thanksgiving, that's our third step. There was this one day where, this is a personal Thanksgiving story. We live in this little street. It's kind of busy, but my kids weren't allowed to play in the street, but they were allowed to play in the front yard. And so I would open up the garage door and I would open up the front door so that I could see like the whole, they knew the boundaries, driveway, tree, front little patch of grass, they could play there. And I had the doors open and the garage door open, and all of a sudden I couldn't see anything, but I could hear shrieking coming from outside. I ran outside, and my six-year-old son, does anybody have a wild one? Raise your hand if you have a wild one. Like, I've got four, three are conservative, one is just off the rails. So the off the rails one was upside down, about 10 feet up in the tree, hanging by 1 foot in the V of a branch, screaming. I don't know how I did it. I think that I had some sort of a weird supernatural moment where they talk about moms can like lift up a car. I scaled that tree in 2 steps. And I was up there, and I'm holding him up in the crook of the tree, and he's crying, and my other son is too little. He can't help us. So I'm literally just holding him upside down thinking, I don't know how we're going to get out of this one. And all of a sudden, this guy on a skateboard just out of nowhere cruises up and says, do you need some help? And I'm like, yes, thank you, I do. So he jumped up the tree and got us out of there. And you know what I realized? I didn't realize until, first of all, we thanked God for the angel on the skateboard because we'd never seen that guy before. The other thing that happened is when my son got out of the tree, I realized that he had put his big brother's shoes on because he couldn't find his. And they were like 3 sizes too big, and it was that giant shoe that got stuck that held him upside down in the tree. So that's one of my real life stories of thankful in all circumstances. I wasn't thankful for that moment, but boy, we still talk about that. That is a family story highlight. But you know, here's the reality. Life is real. Life is hard. But we have an opportunity to live a life of thanksgiving, thanking God in the good and the bad and the ugly, in everything, not for everything. And I want to finish with step 4. Step 4 is intercession. We don't pray for ourselves when we come together in our moms and prayer groups. We pray for our children and our teachers and our schools. Ephesians 3:12 says, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is why Christ died, free access to the Father through Him, the ultimate freedom. And you know what we do is we pray God's word over our kids, because God's word is God's will. So even if you've never, ever prayed out loud in your life, you could put your child's name in a passage of Scripture. As a matter of fact, if you open up your little bag and you see on the card, there's an intercession verse that shows you an example of a prayer that you can pray for your child. You just put your child's name right in that little line, and there you go. You've said a prayer of eternal significance over your child. We do pray for specific requests when we come together and pray for our kids, but we really, really, really bathe our children in God's word, because that's where the power is. You know, God's word says that the only things that are eternal are the word of God and the souls of men and women. And so you have an opportunity, mom, to pray eternity into the life of your child. I have 2 little great nephews, Griffin and Maverick, and they love to come over to Aunt Faffy's house. And sometimes when, and I am all-time diaper pajama person when they're in my house. It's just, everybody knows, just pass them to Faffy, and she's in charge. And some nights it's a baby wipe bath, you know, the ranch dip and the under the chin and the hands and into the jammies. And then other nights, we get to go upstairs and take a bubble bath. And you know the difference between a baby wipe bath and a bubble bath. You know, when you are in the bubble bath, you're getting every little nook and cranny and crevice. And that's what we talk about when we pray scripture for our kids. We bathe our kids in scripture. So it might look like this. If I was praying Ephesians 3:12 for my son William, I'd say, oh, God, I pray that in Christ and through faith in Christ, William will approach God with freedom and confidence. And then the mom I'm praying with would say, because she knows my son, because we've been praying together for a long time, she'd say, using that same scripture, may William use this confidence to approach his teachers, to ask for help when he needs it. And then I might go, oh, yes, God. And on this hard day at school, will you build William's faith because he knows that you'll give him confidence each day for every challenge? And then the other mom might finish up and say, God, will you help William be free of fear and discouragement and anxiety because you're building his faith? And, you know, we go back and forth just covering all of the words of this scripture. I mean, how much more powerful is that than saying, dear God, help William get an A on his test today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's the difference between my desire for my child and an eternal perspective in prayer for our child. So what I want to say with you to you guys today, you beautiful moms who are working so hard and pouring all of your life and energy into your boys and girls, is that you are building eternity into your kids. You may not know it, you may not realize it, on some days you may not even see it, but you're doing it. With every hug and every kiss and every song and every story and every time you have to use the timeout chair, or whatever your form of discipline is, you are loving God for eternal purposes. So know that God is using you as an instrument of eternity in the lives of your children. Don't despise the little things, the Band-Aid on the boo-boo, and the mommy, I'm thirsty. You know, Jesus says, if you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name, you've given it to me. You are building eternity into your kids. So I want to finish where I started. Because the Spirit of the Lord is in all of you, I want to pray Luke 4:18 and 19 over you, but I want to bathe you in it, and I want to personalize this prayer for you, because that's what we do in Moms in Prayer. We're women who love Jesus, we're women who love God's Word, and we're women who embrace these four prayer principles of praise, confession, thanksgiving, and intercession. And the other thing that I want to tell you is that we are waiting for you. We are a community of praying moms who are just waiting for you to jump into the icy cold Pacific water of a prayer life with us. Even if it seems scary or foreign or new, I want you to pray about joining us, because we really, you guys have been our mission. Moms with young kids have been our mission for the last couple years, and it will continue, because as I was sharing at our table, we are trying to pass the baton, the prayer legacy, on to you. We've had it for 30 years. It's your turn. It's your turn, and we invite you to be a part of it. So before I pray, I want to challenge you to consider going through life, turning those debilitating what ifs into the very liberating and hopeful even ifs, okay? Because God is able. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you want to know anything more about what it means to be a part of a Moms in Prayer group, come talk to me afterwards. I have little follow-up cards. Go to our website, momsinprayer.org. You can read and hear all about us. And it's just a privilege to be able to share with you and to look into your eyes and to tell you, you are doing a phenomenal job. You really are. Let me pray for you. Spirit of the Lord is upon each one of you, and you are all called to preach good news to your children. Just as Jesus was sent to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, you moms are called to receive that message of hope and to press on in prayer and motherhood. Oh, I pray that each one in this room would know, God, that you have begun a good work in each one of them and that you are going to be faithful to complete it. I pray that each one of these moms today, right now, would experience your presence in such a way that they would experience freedom in Christ and that the joy of the Lord is their strength today. God, fill them with joy and hope and peace in believing that you will fill them with your Spirit. Bless and keep each one and their precious families today. In Jesus' name.